Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate today on our gospel reading from John 10 and the theme of life with the shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. There is no ear like a mother's ear, no warmth like a mother's warmth, no willingness to listen and understand and respond like a mother's willingness to listen and understand and respond. There's no comfort like a mother gives, no security like a mother offers, and no love like a mother shows. With the only exception I know being the ear and warmth and willingness and comfort and security and love of God Himself. They say that cleanliness is next to godliness, but I tend to think motherliness is pretty close as well. Special celebrations like Mother's Day are important for reminding us of just what a special gift mothers are. But of course, they can also be difficult days for some people, depending on personal experiences of mothers and mothering. And I know for many of you, the simple fact that your mothers are no longer alive. Special celebrations are like that. They're bittersweet in how they make us think and how they make us feel. Today is also Good Shepherd Sunday, which is a little bit the same. Some people love Good Shepherd Sunday and they tell me every year. Some people feel they've heard enough sermons and done enough studies on the Good Shepherd theme to last them a lifetime. That's okay, I figure one more won't hurt. Special celebrations can be bittersweet in how they make us think and how they make us feel. The backdrop of today's reading is actually another special celebration, the Festival of Dedication. You may know it as Hanukkah. Hanukkah marks the rededication of the temple in Jerusalem in about 165 BC, after it had been desecrated 3 years earlier. It was a time of great joy and great renewal for the people of Israel. In fact, that's what the word Hanukkah means, is renewal. But it was also bittersweet because of the history involved. Now, on this particular occasion, this particular Hanukkah or Festival of Dedication, Jesus is asked a very important question, to which he gives a very important answer. And so today I just want us to look at the question he receives, the answer he gives, and then finally the security he offers in that answer. First, the question he receives. It says, the Jews who were there gathered around him were saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Now, it's a bit like, you know, children circling their mum with questions about what's to eat or something. It's a bit like birds circling their prey. These people gather around Jesus and they kind of trying to pin him down, give us a clear answer, a straight answer on this question. Are you the Messiah? John the Baptist once asked a similar question. And I think we can empathize with their desire for a clear answer, a plain response. Just tell us, just give it to us straight, once and for all. Are you or aren't you? Conclusively, decisively. Tell us if you're the Messiah. But there's a problem with the question. And the problem is this: what do you mean by Messiah? Jesus knows that they mean something different to what he means. And therein lies the challenge of the situation. Now, it's a bit like if someone came into the building here during the week and said to me, are you responsible for St. Mark's congregation? Well, what do you mean by responsible? Yes and no. I'm the pastor here. That means I'm responsible for certain things, not for everything. Where's the question coming from? What's it getting at? What is it really trying to find out? It's not a simple yes or no answer. Now, it's good to ask our questions. It's good to ask Jesus our questions, especially these kind of questions about who he is and about what that means, so long as we're prepared to listen to his answers. And I know that parents and teachers and grandparents probably too sometimes get frustrated when a child might come to them with a question but not stick around long enough to hear the answer, or perhaps think they know better than the answer that's being given. I think we sometimes do the same thing with God. We voice our questions, but we don't necessarily have open ears to hear the answers he's giving us. So what answer does Jesus give? He says, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." The question about the Messiah was a highly charged question. Politically, especially, socially, religiously, it was highly charged. It was highly complex. It was a very difficult question to answer clearly because of what people expected the Messiah to be, because of what was behind the question they were asking. So Jesus is saying yes and no. Look at what I'm doing. Look at the works. Listen to the words. Yes and no. But then he takes them deeper. And that's why he wants us listening. Because he says the real issue is not these different understandings of the Messiah. The real issue is the proximity to the shepherd. You're not really interested in the answer, or you're not really listening to it. My sheep, they listen to me. I know them. They follow me. In fact, what the words actually mean is my sheep are listening to me and I am knowing them and they are following me. It's this kind of continuous, rolling, relational activity. It's happening there and then. They're listening. I'm knowing. They're following. Walking around with me. Jesus' sheep, in other words, aren't those who just give a quick fire question and then walk away before they've taken in the answer. They're the ones listening, learning, getting to know the shepherd. That's the answer. That is the answer to the question. To come closer, greater proximity, closeness to the shepherd and his voice. To follow him around until it starts to sink in more and more. We learn from Christ by shadowing him, by following him, by being kind of apprentices of our Lord Jesus Christ. The same way we learn anything. Watching, listening, following, trying. It's the same in the kingdom of God. One commentator says, we shouldn't just be Christocentric in our faith, but Christophonic. Listeners of Christ. He is the Messiah. Of course he's the Messiah, but he's just not the Messiah they expected. Perhaps not even the Messiah they wanted. And therein lies the complexity of the question. So if Jesus isn't a political messiah or overlord of some kind, what kind of security can he offer these people? Because that was one of their great desires. You know, peace, security, comfort. What security does Jesus offer? He goes on, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Now we hear these words each time we have a baptism here at St. Mark's and we present the little lamb. And usually Jane or someone else says to the family, you know, Jesus is your good shepherd. And he promises you no one will snatch you out of his hand. And then Jesus goes even a step further and he says, and by the way, my Father who's greater than all, no one will snatch them out of his hand either. Such is the firmness of the grip of God on our lives, our baptized lives. Jesus wants to assure us as his followers and his sheep of his divine protection and security. He wants to remind us that the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He wants to encourage us that despite our questions and uncertainties, our fears and failings, he will never leave us nor abandon us. And not only that, but when we stray from his path, when we get lost, he will come looking for us. And he will never quit until he finds us. It doesn't mean the security of Christ, the security of being one of his sheep, does not mean no difficulties, problem free. No, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it means that when we're there, when we're in difficulty, the shepherd is there with us. The promises remain unchanged. That's the security he offers. The Heidelberg Catechism, which is the catechism of the Reformed churches, say, "What is your only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ." That's our comfort. That's our security. That's our joy. That's the answer to their question. It's the answer to what's behind their question. Where do we find some security in this life, some comfort in this life, some peace? Leon Morris writes, "It's one of the most precious things about our Christian faith, that our continuance in eternal life depends not on our feeble hold on Christ, but on his firm grip on us." You see, there is no ear like God's ear, no heart like God's heart, no word like God's word. There is no willingness to listen, understand, and respond to our need like God's willingness to listen and understand and respond to our need. There is no comfort and no security like the comfort and security we find in Christ. There is no love like the love of the Good Shepherd. And there is no exception. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today we come before you with gratitude for our mothers or grandmothers or great-grandmothers, for all those who have shown your care and your love in our lives. And today we come before you with gratitude for your Son, Jesus, who is our Good Shepherd. We pray that you would help us to bring our questions to him, but also to stick around long enough to hear the answers, to listen, to learn, to grow in our Christian faith. We pray above all that you would fill us with comfort and security, the comfort and security of knowing not that we have a tight hold on you, because we don't always, but in knowing that you have a tight hold on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.